girl marries. A story of young married life dedicated to everyone who has ever been in love. Brought to you by that double-acting baking powder, Calumet. Calumet for double protection, double perfection. Look for the big red can with the Calumet engine cheat. Hear about it, friends. Gather around and hear all about Calumet Bacon Powder's new contribution to the American home, which ain't a machine or a gadget, but just a simple, easy recipe that saves you heaps of work and time in keeping the family supplied with plenty of grand, fresh-baked biscuits and other hot bread. It's Calumet's smart, ever-ready blend. The directions for making it are in every bright red can of Calumet Bacon Powder with a picture of the Calumet engine chief. Get the recipe and make up a big batch of ever-ready blend. It keeps in the refrigerator or a cool, dry place for as long as 3 or 4 weeks. And when you want biscuits in a hurry, or flapjacks, or muffins, or waffles, you just measure out some of that ready and waiting Calumet Ever-Ready blend. For bacon powder biscuits, add nothing but milk. For the other hot breads, milk and eggs as they require, and you'll get real Calumet quality in that batch of bacon. Same as any other time you use dependable double-acting Calumet bacon powder. Trusty Calumet gives double protection for double perfection. Starts to raise biscuits and batters in the mixing bowl when you add liquid. And then when they hit the oven heat, gives them another big boost up. Now look for the big bright red can of Calumet bacon powder. Look in the can for Calumet's ever-ready blend recipe. Cause for the very best bacon yet, it's Calumet. And now, when a girl marries, the story of Joan and Harry Davis. In Anne's suite in the Somerville Hotel, it seems to her that all the struggle of the storm has found an answer in her own emotional problem. For the first time in her life, she is afraid. Afraid of the darkness. Afraid of the roaring wind and lashing rain.
Foolish delight in misery. What's the matter with me anyway?
Have you ever thought how selfish you are?
I'm no more so than anyone else.
Have you ever thought how many things you demand of life?
Why shouldn't I?
Without paying for
them? Oh, that's ridiculous. I've always paid well for everything I've ever got.
But only in material
things. Oh, this is so stupid to argue with myself this way.
Why do you do it?
I don't know.
You mean you won't admit you're wrong?
There isn't anyone more honest than I am.
When you want to.
I just always get trapped by it, that's all.
Are you admitting even to yourself why you bought the McLaughlin place?
I want a home. I want some place to call my own.
Then why did you try to back out of the deal when you were told by Phil Stanley never to come near him again?
All right. So I am fond of Phil. What's wrong with that?
And Kathy.
Oh, she's able to take care of herself.
And their son?
I can't stand much more of this.
Yet it's going on and on.
Oh, no.
Because you've shut all good out of your life.
Good. What a stupid word in a world like this.
Good.
I've got to stop thinking. I've got to take care of myself.
Good.
It's got to be ruthless. It's got to take what you want in this world.
Good.
You can kill that voice inside of you. Then you can find real happiness in doing anything you want. And that's what I'm going to do. No one's ever really helped me. So I'm going to do with my life exactly what I please. And I'm not going to care who I hurt in the living of it.
While between Stanwood and Beechwood, when the storm abated for a few moments, Harry decided to take a chance and leave the roadside inn where he had taken refuge and start for home. He hadn't gone far when he saw a car parked across the road. Forced to stop, he discovered it was a man who claimed he was out of gas. And this was the only way he could get help, as a few cars had passed by and refused to stop. Now, a short time later, after Harry had agreed to take him to the next gas station, the storm is raging again. And the man sitting beside Harry says,
"Yeah, if you turn off here to the left, you'll have a shortcut to the next town."
"Oh, good.
You'll miss that mountain road, too."
"Boy, this is terrific.
These woods will give us some protection."
"That's what we want."
"Sure do."
"It sounds to me as though it's getting worse."
"Keep driving."
"Boy, this is fierce.
See that clearing to the right?"
"Yes."
"Drive into it."
"Drive. What for?"
"Just do as I tell you."
"Say, what the devil is this?"
"Pipe down, brother."
"Why, you..."
"I got a rod in your back."
"You can't..."
"And I don't want to have to use it."
"Okay.
Now stop the car. Over there where I told you. If you act reasonable, you won't have any trouble."
"You might let me in on this."
"And don't ask questions."
"You can't get away with this. You know as well as I do there'll be cars along here."
"Not along this road, buddy."
"Now look here."
"Get up." That's better. Get up.
Oh, no, you don't.
Now, get this straight, Chum. I knocked off the last guy who tried that. I might do it again. Gotta get out of the state and get out fast. Now, hold your hands and back here while I tie them. Yeah. Now, get back in the car.
And I
said
just
get
a minute.
Back in the...
Look, take the car.
Oh, no. I need you.
I've got money in my pocket. It's yours if you'll leave me alone.
It's mine anyway. Now, get in.
Let's talk this thing over.
I said I don't want to talk. Now, in with you. Oh, wet truce it is.
I don't get what you want me along for.
$5.
You're not stupid enough to try to kidnap me. That's what you're doing, you know.
Suppose we turn off the conversation.
Why don't you take the car? Just let me out here or any place.
I told you I got some plans to make first. And you might fit into it.
Look out, we'll both be over the mountainside.
Because I don't like conversation. I can't concentrate when anybody's yakking.
Well, you're going to get it, whether you like it or not.
I wouldn't if I was you.
I've come up against your kind in court. They're all bluff.
Yeah? Go on. This is beginning to interest me.
So long as you have a gun in your pocket, you talk big. But once you lose it, you fade out of the picture fast.
But I ain't going to lose it, understand?
No? We'll see about that. Okay, buddy. You asked for it.
What is it? Joe, dear, this is Mother Davis. Oh, Mother Davis.
Yes, darling.
It's Harry. Mother Davis, something's wrong with Harry. No, I haven't. He's been hurt. He's been terribly hurt. Harry! Oh, what am I going to do?
It's Harry.
Yes, dear, yes. You had a terrible
nightmare.
That's all right.
No, I don't know what happened.
Well, that's what it was, dear.
I saw Harry with blood all over him. It was dark black as his face, and then he slumped down.
No, because it was the worst before you went to sleep.
What time is it?
Just 4:00.
Yeah. Oh, dear Lord.
Joe, you are.
There was a clock. There was a clock near his face, like a clock in a car. And it said 4:00. Just 4:00. Oh, Jesus, that's the time it is now.
Come on, Pond, dear. I'm going to take you downstairs and make you a cup of tea.
Oh, no, I don't want to leave you. I'm going to call the police.
No, wait. Joe, you can't go on.
But I've got to tell them about Harry.
Joe, you're not even awake yet. Come now. Slip your arms, isn't it?
We've got to help Harry. We've got to.
I don't hear you, sister.
What can I do?
You feel all right. After a good cup of strong.
But I've got to do something. I've got to, Mother Davis.
You know, I think the stones are leading up a little bit.
It was Harry. I saw him in plain view. So we were in my room.
Darling, I know how bad dreams can affect you.
You don't believe me.
Joan, dear, you aren't even awake yet.
Yes, I am.
I know. It's so real. It's been a shock to me.
Harry!
Oh, we must have left the light on him, didn't we?
No, we didn't, Miss Davis, ma'am.
Mary.
Yes, and I ain't closed my eyes all night. So finally let go and got up to make some tea for myself.
Just what we're going to do.
Oh, Miss Davis, honey, you sick as a hop. You look awful.
I'm all right, ma'am.
She had a bad dream.
Oh, ain't that funny now? But believe it or not, I had the goose pimples all over me, too. And I ain't fooling.
I'm afraid something's happened to Mr. Davis.
What do you mean, honey?
I don't know. I just feel he's been hurt.
Well, I wouldn't worry myself, because you didn't hear from him.
I wonder if the phone's still on. If it isn't, I am going to call the police
tomorrow. Why don't you wait until you've had your tea, darling?
Yeah, so it'll be ready.
No, I can't, Mother. I've got to do it now.
Very well, dear. It'll make you feel
I've
better.
I've got to see if there's been an accident.
Oh, ma'am. Thanks, Miss Davis, ma'am. You don't suppose it was.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen anything like this happen to anyone before.
Oh, heaven's help.
I was sound asleep when I heard her scream.
Yes.
Terrible sounds, you could imagine. In fact, I couldn't collect myself for a minute. When I did get to her, she didn't seem awake. It was almost like hypnosis.
Well, I ain't wanting to worry you, Miss Davis, ma'am. But the spooks has sure been around here tonight.
Oh, now, come.
It's the honest to Lord's truth. Of course, I ain't feeling the way Billy feels. It takes an evil them before they get through me. Cause I ain't the seventh daughter of a seventh star, of course. But let me tell you, they come a-visiting me this blessed night.
Mary, don't talk this way to Mrs. Davis.
No, ma'am.
I won't. I'm afraid we're all overwrought by what we've been through at Chaffin Field.
It sure wasn't any fun.
And this storm coming.
I can't ever remember anything like it in all my born days.
Yes, I was afraid it would be, dear.
I'm so frightened, Mother Dale.
Joan, come and sit down. I have to see you already.
Oh, no, I got to.
Please, dear, please try.
Do you a whole world of good, honey.
And after you drink it, I want you to go right back to bed.
No, Mother Dale. No. I've got to find out if Harry's all right.
We'll be back with you in a moment. But now...
Now, it sure is a fact that folks made locks and keys to fit them. The main purpose being to keep trouble outside and happiness within. And that's just what you'll be doing, ma'am, when you get the key to bacon success, Calumet Bacon Powder. Sure thing, Calumet keeps cheer in the house and bacon failures out. So get that famous double-acting Calumet in the big bright red can with a picture of the Calumet engine chief. Calumet's trusty. You can depend on it to never let your bacon down. Yes, Calumet will give you the very best bacon yet. You bake your family's favorite spice cake or chocolate layer cake with dependable Calumet bacon powder, and you'll have the happiest family in town. Bake them one of the new chiffon cakes that call for double-acting bacon powder. Bake it with Calumet, and they'll get you a Christmas present as glamorous and glorious as that rich, lavish cake. Calumet starts to raise biscuits and batters in the mixing bowl as soon as you add liquid to dry ingredients. When they feel the oven heat, Calumet boosts them up to the stars. Failure-saving, cost little, and you use very little. A level teaspoon to a cup of sifted flour in most recipes. That's thrifty Calumet, your key to bacon success. There until tomorrow at the same time, we leave the story of When a Girl Marries, written by Elaine Carrington. Your narrator was Charles Stark. This program was brought to you by that double-acting baking powder, Calumet. Calumet, for double protection, double perfection. Look for the big red can with the Calumet Indian Chief. Your announcer is Kennedy Ludlam.
It's a coconut man, and he's got an excitingly different kind of coconut dessert to tell you about. Peach Ambrosia. Juicy canned cling peaches blended with creamy, fresh, tender, sweet Baker's coconut. Here's a dessert without words. And a top favorite all around the table, too. Peach Ambrosia, made with delicious Baker's coconut. Try it.
NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.